Let's turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered together around him when they had come from Jerusalem, and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they had come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of man.'" And he was also saying to them, "You nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, 'Anything of mine you might have been helped by is korban,' that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your own tradition, which you have handed down, that you may do many things such as that." And he called the multitude to him again and began to say, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of the man which going into him can defile him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." And when leaving the multitude, he had entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he was saying, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered the house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast a demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "Because of this answer, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed, the demon having departed. And again he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude by himself and put his finger into his ears, and after spitting he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, "Epapha," that is, "be open." And his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began to speak plainly. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. And they were utterly astonished, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Amen. Excuse me. And so Mark chapter 7 kind of starts Jesus' ministry of going outside of Galilee. And so in the next few chapters, he'll be going to Tyre, Sidon, you know, he'll be going all over the place. And he starts off and he's gathered in Jerusalem, and he's with the Pharisees there. And then what begins to happen is they begin to, you know, basically complain about the disciples, that they, you know, are unclean. They're eating with impure hands, you know, and they're unwashed. Now, for us, this is more than an issue of hygiene, okay? I mean, everyone knows you should wash your hands before you eat, right? You should not eat food with dirty hands. We all know that. That really wasn't the idea here. The Pharisees and most Jews living in this time, they were so concerned with ritual cleansing. You know, in fact, you remember in John chapter 2 when Jesus is at the wedding in Galilee, right, in Cana of Galilee? Do you remember when he goes to the wedding and he actually turns the big water pots, you know, and he turns them into wine. You remember that, right? Now, that was actually a prophetic sign because Isaiah, you know, and other Old Testament prophets spoke of the time of the Messiah. And remember, this is Jesus' first miracle. So in John 2, the Old Testament prophets were saying the sign of the Messiah is basically that the wine will flow. You know, that was one of the big signs. In other words, there was going to be a huge party. You know, and that was the messianic proclamation. And so Jesus turns water into wine, signifying, in essence, he's saying, yes, I'm here, right? The Messiah has come, you know. But also part of that is he takes the particular water that's used for purification, and he turns that water into wine. In other words, what the Pharisees, and this will be the mission of Jesus all throughout the Gospels. What the Pharisees had bound people with, in other words, rules, regulation, all these things, Jesus has set them free, and now the party has begun. And so in the same essence here, when he talks about these Pharisees, this unclean hands, you know, ritual purification, you know, and they had all kinds of things. If you remember, you know, we teach on this, you know, the God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, right? This is what we call Torah, you know, and the Jews trying to follow the Ten Commandments very well, came up with 613, I believe, commandments on top of the Ten, and this is what's called the Talmud. And so most people, Jewish students, they study Talmud the whole time. And this is the intricacies of the law, right? And so according to the Talmud, they had to go, you know, and not only wash their hands, but there was a specific order by which they did it. And then they had to wash their utensils in the same way. They had to wash their pots and pans and all these things, whatever touched food, you know, whatnot. It was very ritualistic. And so you could see that people were bound. You know, what if you weren't wealthy? You know, and you could afford to have, you know, flowing water in your house. You know what I mean? You know, what if you didn't have that kind of lifestyle? You were basically omitted from the Jewish faith in many ways. And so Jesus, all throughout here, what he's trying to do is he's trying to break aside man's laws and establish God's laws. You know, and so if you remember, all throughout the Gospels, the Pharisees are attacking him on issues of Talmud, right? And Jesus, you know, he brushes those things aside. I mean, you know, think about another passage or other passages. You know, a guy's been sick for like 18 years. And then why does Jesus always have to heal on the Sabbath? Have you thought about that? You know, like, surely he could do it on Monday, you know, or in this case, Sabbath was Saturday. So he could do it on Sunday, you know, or Monday or Tuesday. Why does he always have to heal someone on the Sabbath? It's because God gave the law to Moses about the Sabbath, you know, and it was a pretty simple law, just keep it holy. And then these guys thought of all these rules by which to keep the Sabbath holy, which was not that was not God's intention. And so Jesus is, I mean, if you look through the Gospels, and once you start reading with that lens, he is literally going out of his way to break every single man-made law. But he doesn't touch one of God's laws. In fact, he says, you know, I've not come to abolish the laws and the prophets. I came to fulfill it. You know, and we see that Jesus is constantly fulfilling Torah, but getting rid of Talmud. And then he points to this one thing, and he says, you guys are hypocrites. You know, you hold to, you know, the teachings of as doctrines, you know, the precepts of men. This is verse 7, and you neglect the commandment of God. Isn't this the key point? Right? You hold on to the tradition of men, and you teach these traditions as doctrine, but you forsake the commandment of God. You know, and the one commandment that he points to is this practice of korban. What korban meant was that, you know, let's say you had some land or you had something, you know, and then you had parents. The first commandment is to honor your mother and father. Okay, that goes without saying, right? And so what typically happened is if a person, you know, had a mother and father, they actually wouldn't take care of them. They would actually dedicate the land or whatever possessions or property or funds that they had, and they would dedicate it to the church. They would still use it, you know, in the sense that, you know, it wasn't, it was still in their care. And then when they died, they gave it over to the church. But that's something they could have used for to help their parents. And so, you know, Jesus is saying that there's something wrong with this law. There's something wrong with this tradition that you've set up, you know, that you, and the key is that the temple plays such such an emphasis on the offering, you know? I mean, let's be very plain and simple here, okay? Right? If you're at church and you have to decide, you know, I mean, you've given your tithes, okay? I mean, that belongs to God, right? No one touches that. You know, that's you and God, and you tithe and you give to the Lord. If you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. That's very plain and simple. But let's say you're dealing with issues of offering now, you know, and then you have, you know, a need to take care of your parents, or you have a need to give to the offering. Unless God has spoken to you very clearly about that, give to your parents, especially as they're in need. I mean, does that make sense? You know, I'd be sad as your pastor if you neglected your parents, you know, to give to the church when your parents were in need. You guys understand what I'm saying? But the Jewish leaders, they had such an emphasis, you know, on the offering that they started making all these rules, you know, that would basically secure that offering for the temple. That's not right. And Jesus says, that's not right. You know, you neglect the commandment of God, you know, to follow through your traditions. You know, and here, you know, he quotes Isaiah 29. This is one of the sharpest rebukes of the church that you hear Jesus say. He says, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is so far away. Right? What's the key here that Jesus is getting at? He's talking about the heart. Right? That's the key. You know? Conversely, if your heart was open to God, you wouldn't have to worry about the nitty-gritty stuff. Right? Let me lay it this way, right? If your heart is committed to the Lord and you're dating someone, you don't have to ask me, Pastor Sam, how far can I go in my relationship? You understand what I'm saying, right? You know, like, where can I touch and where can I not touch? You know, the question is, how far can I go? If your heart is close to the Lord, you don't even ask that question. I'm just being honest. You don't even, that question doesn't even enter into your stratosphere whatsoever. Because your heart is committed to God. You know, it's when our hearts are not committed to the Lord, we want rules and we want regulations. You know what I mean? We want boundaries and we want all these things. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, and when our hearts are committed to Jesus, you know, and our hearts are given over to Him, rules, regulations don't even matter. We actually go above and beyond those rules and regulations in our lives. That's a typical common thing that will happen. You know, and so, you know, these guys are operating in this way because their hearts are not given over to the Lord. You know, and that's, you know, precisely going from verse 14. That's what he talks about. He's talking about the heart. Right? He says there's nothing outside the man which going in defile him, but the things which proceed out of the man, that's what defile the man. Why? Because that's what comes from the heart. You know, and he gives this beautiful discourse, you know, and yeah, it's about our digestive system, and he talks about all those kind of things, but he's basically talking about, look, your issue is there's something wrong with your heart. You know, you're not focused on the Lord. And so as a result, you got to make all these rules and regulations all the way through. You know, I mean, this is the key, right? And I'm not trying to debunk a part of the church or anything like that. But you know, when people don't have intimacy, people want rules. That's just a simple thing, right? When we don't have intimacy, we want rules. You think of that in terms of our marriage relationship. And no, there's nothing wrong with rules, you understand, right? But when intimacy is happening, we go above and beyond our rules. You know? If I'm not experiencing intimacy with my wife, we can have all different rules. Sam, don't leave home without your wedding ring. You know, Sam, you know, don't have a meeting with another woman one-on-one, you know, with the door closed. Sam, don't travel by yourself. You know, and those are all good things, by the way, okay? I'm not saying they're bad things. But when I'm having intimacy with my wife, right, I don't have to even deal with those things. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, in that same way, you know, for us as followers of God, when we're walking with the Lord, the commandments don't really mean that much. You know, and if you don't understand, you know, read through the epistles. That's what Paul is basically talking about. You know, he's talking about the law is death, but the Spirit is life. You know, and there's something about what happens, and so he's dealing with the issue of the heart here, right? It's not outside that comes in, it's what's inside. This is what's messing it up. That's why it doesn't matter if you wash your hands or you eat dirty food. It doesn't matter. It's not what goes in, it's what's already inside your heart. That's your problem. And out of your heart, there's murder, evil thoughts, thefts, adulteries, fornication, deeds of coveting, wickedness. You know, in other words, Jesus is saying, look, guys, you're not going to be clean inside because you wash your hands and you eat clean things. That's not how it happens. You're going to be clean inside because you give yourself to God. And God cleans the insides. That's all. You know? And then we have this interesting episode with the Syrophoenician women. Just one thing. God is not calling, or Jesus is not calling Gentiles dogs, okay? And so I don't want you to misunderstand. This is actually a Hebrew idiom, right? And obviously, you know, Jesus is not, because he heals the woman, you know? And so I don't want you to make this correlation. It's a very common Hebrew idiom that's used during this day, you know? And so, and then he gets to the end here. He's in Sidon now, in Tyre. And this is really interesting, right? You know, it's kind of, you know, John Mark kind of adds this into the end of this chapter. And now he goes, and so he's talking about his ministry going out of the regions. And he sees this guy who's deaf and he's mute, you know, and look how Jesus heals this person, right? This is why, you know, this is a good look for us, a good warning for us as well. Jesus takes, you know, I'll just read it because it's almost unbelievable. He took him aside, multitude, put his finger into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. Right? What the heck did Jesus just do? He has a guy, he took his finger, he put it in his ears, and then he spit on his hand. And then he asked the guy to stick his tongue out, and he took Jesus' saliva, and he put it on his tongue. Now, if I were to do that to any of you guys, you'd be extremely grossed out. You know, some of you might actually leave the church. You know what I mean? I mean, this is crazy. And this is how Jesus healed the person this way. You know, again, right? Again, we're dealing with the issues of the heart, right? You know, a lot of times in ministry, it's so easy for us to judge other people because they look differently than we do, or they do ministry differently than we do. You know, case in point, right? Now, I'm not a big Benny Hinn fan, okay? I have some friends that actually know him personally, you know, and they seem to think he's a pretty good guy, right? And so he's just flamboyant. I'm not flamboyant, you know? That's not my character, you know? That's not the way I do ministry, you know? But, you know, sometimes I see Benny, you know, at work, and I scratch my head, you know, I'm like, why do you gotta do it like that? Can't you just be normal? You know, you guys understand what I'm saying, right? You know, and I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, but see, that's judgment on my part. You know, one of my professors in the seminary, he said it really well. He just said, you know, we asked him, hey, what do you think about Benny Hinn? You know, what do you think about his crusades and all? Because he was actually in Anaheim, you know, coming up that weekend. You know, what do you think about all this stuff? And he just said it so well. He says, you know what? He said, if half the miracles happen, you know, that happened in his crusades, he says, I rejoice. I rejoice. You know, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Because the whole time I was just being critical, you know. Can you see how easy it is for us? Just because it didn't look like, you know, what we think it looks like, you know, and please don't go on the internet and look up pastors' names, because there are so many idiots out there that write such the grossest, meanest things, totally taken out of context. And usually those are minor theological issues, you know. and things. And you know, I mean, obviously they're not preaching heresy. If it's a heretical thing, that's a whole different. But most people are offended by the practice. You know, but yet you have Jesus here who sticks his finger in someone's ear, he spits, you know, and then he puts his saliva in the other guy's mouth. That's gross. You know what I mean? I mean, even if I did that to my wife would get mad at me, you know? You know, another time Jesus spit in the ground and took mud up and he squashed the mud and he put it on someone's eyes. I mean, can you imagine all the germs that are in that mud? Right? And then his spit on top of that. I mean, I know it's Jesus, so it's holy, right? But still, I mean, it's just crazy, you know? And so, again, issue of the heart. Be careful who you judge, you know? Be careful. Just because it doesn't look like the way you do it, you know, or it doesn't have the same feel, or it's the same personality, it doesn't mean it's not from God. Maybe they're just weird, you know? But isn't that interesting that Paul, you know, in scriptures, he begins to tell us that God uses weird people. 1 Corinthians, right? God has chosen the foolish things of the world, right, to shame those, you know, that are wise. Isn't that interesting? Right? God's just in the business of using weird people. Now, obviously, we don't all want to be weird, you know, but let's see, are we really judging a lot? Again, right, it's all about the heart. Right? You know, are we easily judging other ministries or other ministers or other leaders because they're so flamboyant? Now, I know some of them have issues with money. Yeah, I know. That's not good, right? Some have other issues, you know, whatnot. And sure, those are those things, right? But I'm just simply speaking about just simple practices that may be a little different than ours. You know, the one thing we have to make sure, church, is that we don't call light darkness. Really, right? That we don't call light darkness. That is a grave sin, you know, that will have reverberations, you know, in our hearts. It's going to ruin us, right? It's the critical spirit, you know. Remember, God is giving us the ability to think critically, right? We're supposed to be critical thinkers, right? Not critical people. It's a totally different thing, right? And again, it's about the heart. So let's close our eyes today. How is your heart? Are we so easily judging others? Are we so quick to point out other people's faults? Oh, man, you didn't eat with your hands washed, and yet we got murder and lust in our own hearts. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. Have we called light darkness in some ministries or some people? Are we focused on the outward appearance of how we will look as a Christian instead of cultivating our hearts before God? Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Let it minister to our hearts as Hannah leads us in a song.
In the midst.
Let's pray this morning that we would continually cultivate our heart before the Lord. That it's not really about the outward appearance. And don't get stuck into that trap. It's really about what's really inside of us. And if your heart has gotten cold, don't ask God to fix it. Ask God for a new one. That's what He promised us. A new heart, a new spirit. Seek intimacy, not just rules. Not what you can and cannot do. A lot of that stuff is on our own strength. I don't know about you, but I want to do more than what I can do. So let's go before the Lord and just ask God to cultivate our hearts. And then we give over our hearts to Him again. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Pastor Oh as he's starting to write his dissertation. And let's pray that God will continue to bless him in his studies. And you know, his PhD is on the missions movement in Cambodia. You know, self-sustaining churches and movements. And let's pray that all the research and all things he does, that it will flow into Cambodia experiencing revival in their churches. Let's also pray for New Life churches. Let's pray for Pastor Tang. Pray for the Centerpiece Orphanage. Let's ask God to continue to bless. Pray for our team going this summer as well. Pray for the Philippines. Pray for our clinic and for Elder Chang and for Bhutan and also the teams that will be going out there this summer. Let's ask the Lord. In Bhutan, you know, they tried to pass the law, and I think it kind of got passed, but it's not ratified or something. There's something going on. And so the whole idea of religious freedom or Christianity being open, it's not a done deal yet. There's still a fight going on. So let's really pray that God would just do something in their judiciary, that Christianity would become completely legal, and God would continue to move in that place. Let's lift up these countries before the Lord. Let's pray for our ministries. Let's pray for IP team and for Cascade and The Well. The IP team is going through a transition, and some of you guys know Matt is now heading up the ministry as GA leaves for Boston. Now let's pray for Cascade. There'll be seven of us, including myself, that'll be going to Sydney this weekend to help a church set up an inner healing ministry in their church. And so let's lift up our team and for Becky and pray for The Well, our healing ministry. And let's continue to have our guys have enthusiasm to pray for the sick. And we'll see God do some amazing things through their ministry. So let's lift up these ministries to the Lord. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Mac Daddy, Trigunter, Causeway Bay, and Kowloon. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon our brothers and sisters and our leaders. And, you know, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to pray through, a lot to discuss, and, you know, a lot of ministry to be had as well. And so let's just cover this evening tonight and just pray for real grace and fellowship would really flow through this time. Lastly, let's pray for our move. Well, let's ask God to continue to open the doors for a building, and God will continue to raise the funds, and Holy Spirit would just empower all that's going on. If you could pray specifically, we're trying to get our financials in order as we present our papers so we can get a pre-approved loan. Can we really pray for Kiwon and for the Korean church? A lot of it is actually the Korean church needs to clean up their books. And so let's pray for real diligence, and let's pray for the accountants to really get on the ball, and that we would really see a finality to this so we can present our papers. Let's also pray for the Vine. I know that they're have quite a struggle right now in their fundraising, so let's ask God to bless them and really raise up the church and to really go forward in the vision that God has given to them. Well, let's lift up. Father, we bless you. Yeah, we thank you this morning. We thank you, God, that we hear so many messages the last few days or last few weeks about our hearts. And God, and you're stirring us again, God. So would you light the fire again within us, Lord? And help us to be a caring community, Lord. Help us to be a community that puts you first, Lord. That Lord, is not judgmental, God. Is not critical, Lord. But that's loving, God, that it flows. And so watch over us this week, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.